You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right. Hello, everybody. It is April 30th, year of our Lord 2019. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I have a new voice to introduce to the audio chat, and that voice is the Phoenician. Let me just move the Phoenician in. Welcome, Phoenician, to the audio chat live stream.
You there?
Welcome, Phoenician. How are you?
Great. How are you, Ab?
I'm great. You sound like you have a southern accent.
Yeah, it's pretty far south, yeah, from you anyway.
Where are you all at?
I'm down in Kentucky. Yeah. So you, aren't you from Canada?
I'm on the north shore of Lake Ontario, Ontario, Canada. We're, our weather today is cool, or in the, I'm going to say in the 50s. I hear that it's quite a bit warmer down there right now.
It's a beautiful day here. Absolutely beautiful. I hope it's just as nice there.
Well, I think the cloud cover finally is abating here, not before it starts pouring tomorrow, but it's been really cold up here. I think there's a there's a heat line that's just south of us that has not come across this way since last year. So it's been cold up here. I heard you're in the 70s and 80s.
That's perfect. Yeah, we don't get a whole lot of days like this. Yeah, maybe 30 a year. You know, just really nice days. You have nothing to complain about. There's not much wind today.
All right. Well, that's enough.
It could be in Florida. Go ahead.
So what is the temperature? I'm asking you. I'm alluding that you're. I need. What is the number there? What is the temperature?
Oh, it's probably. It was over 80 today for sure. I've been on a couple walks today, and it was. My dog got pretty tired, so I think it was probably closer to 84 or so today.
Well, there you go. So you're having summer weather there. We haven't had any taste of spring up here yet. It's hard to believe that we're not very far away, maybe 10 hours away by car, and we're freezing up here still. So that's quite an interesting weather story. But now this channel's not about the weather. Let's talk fakeology. How did you find the Fakeologist?
Oh, I just knew a guy that used to listen to it, and I would overhear it. I didn't pay much attention to it. We lost him a few years ago, bless his heart, and I finally just took it upon myself he passed away. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah. But, at any rate, I just found it, found it on the internet. I just remember the name Fakeologist. I typed it in there and then, I've just been looking through it a little bit. I've kind of have there's a lot of volume there. I have to say there's a lot of episodes. Yes, it's massive. I cannot believe that I've missed all of this. But I'm trying to figure out who's who. You know, I really like the chat and Discord I'm Genuine1 in Fakeology.
And it's all
right. That's the best part. It's free. Who knew? So that's a good resource to learn. Really, you know, just to get other viewpoints.
Even though I'm driving at a high rate of speed now, I finally got through the traffic. I'd like to tell the listenership, while I have them, you can type in simple commands now. You could do it yourself, actually. You could type in simple commands in the command window or command text channel to invoke some simple sound effects. So let's see if one works.
Awesome. Fakeologist.com.
Well, there you go. One just worked. Thank you, John Laws. So John Laws, the top Australian broadcaster, has just mentioned this this channel here for all of us to hear.
That's awesome. Do you have you looked at
that? Some nice. Yes.
Is there a way to look at his viewership? Like, what's his projected viewership or viewership, but the listenership? Is that quite a bit of advertising right there?
Well, I know. Actually, that's thanks to the Fart Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I would call them a pod child of the Fakeologist. And Rollo got on there. I was really trying to, I don't know his listenership right now. But I wanted to just show the good listenership that thanks to Tryptamine, we've enhanced this channel a little more, and we do have sound drops that anyone can invoke. So all you have to do is go to the command channel and type an asterisk, which is above the number 8 on your keypad, and list, and you'll see all the sound drops that we've got right now. Fantastic. Now, the Phoenician, I only have, just to warn you, I only have a few minutes, another 15 minutes or so just letting you know.
Perfect.
But before I pull into my afternoon commute driveway. But so you found the Fakeologist through a fallen Fakeologist, which we're sorry to hear about, because we don't like to lose listeners in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate, you know, just to be able to know someone that, to introduce me to it. He had a bunch of tapes. He would just tape them, cassette tapes. He had a lot of problems there towards the end. We don't really know, you know, to what extent he suffered in life. He had a lot of issues. But anyway, he's probably in a better place. So I thought, man, that was pretty interesting. Maybe I need to look into it. And so here I am. You got a lot of neat people. I've listen to a few of the broadcasts. I'm trying to kind of go back as far as I can and just to kind of figure out what's what. So I think I've heard, let's see, Napoleon, Lara, of course. Lara's got a beautiful voice, by the way. What an excellent presenter. So who else? Oh, Jairus. Is it Jairus or Garrus?
I don't know. But yeah, I'm partial to the female voice as well just because of my...
Wow. Because of your persuasion, so you're actually binary.
Yeah, I'm fully binary. I'm a cis male and all that kind of thing. So I'm fully aboard the anti-transgender, transhuman agenda. Anything I can do to help expose it, I'm happy to do so. As a matter of fact, I have a sub-blog which is more dedicated to elite gender inversion, but it certainly does include any transhumanistic transgenderism topics on it, because that's where they belong, egi.fakeologist.com. Have you been to that site?
No, not to the site. I noticed it in the channels. This Discord thing, I've never really used any kind of a chat program or anything. So this is like mind-blowing to me, all these different channels and people. And so I did see it. I think I clicked on it. But no, not the site. I'll check out the site for sure. I don't have a whole lot of time either. But yeah, I look forward to that site. Or any other, you know, anything else you can suggest for me to learn what's going on. I'm all ears.
Well, yes. The Fakeologist.com website has been going on for 7 years, and that is where I post most of my material because I own the site, I own the material. The Discord is something newer, and that is really to allow free-form, loose chatting, and both with text and audio. But it's really in addition to the main static website, the old-fashioned blog, which is the blogs are kind of going more out of vogue, and the Discord has, in a way, it's almost an appendage that has taken over the body of Fakeologist.com, if I could use an analogy. But most of the permanent material should be on Fakeologist.com, and so that's where it is.
Is everything, you catalog everything, right? It's all stored there, like just from 7 years worth of material. It's all there and it's all tabbed out. I'll have to go back and check it out.
It's 7 years of blog posts, and each blog post is categorized, and on top of the blog posts that are more mainly daily news stories that I comment on, we have pages, which are more permanent fixtures, which discuss the main ideas of the site, like how I got to making the site, promoting September Clues, the tour guide, which is my main material that I base my opinions on, and those are all found at the top, those links. And each blog post also includes all the audio chats that I've done over the years. And all this material I offer for free. There's no charge to it. If you think it's worth anything to you, then you're certainly allowed to contribute in any way you can, including through PayPal. If you don't have anything else to contribute, that we're certainly welcome, but it's not required. I try and make the site as easy as possible to get the information without going through passwords and whatnot. But it's just mainly a labor of love, and it's just been an outlet for me to comment on the media, which is, lo and behold, fairly controlled, and I had no idea because I've always been a consumer of the media my whole life, ever since I was interested in things outside my immediate personal space, basically.
Yeah. What's Toronto media like? Is it pretty, you think it's just as controlled as the rest of the world's media, and at least here in North America, or did you learn from it in order and sort of scale out of it to try to broaden your perspective and then see the same patterns, or how was your journey toward these discoveries?
Well,
if you don't mind me asking.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Most Canadians live within a distance of the American border, which means that we get all the American media over the air, at least before cable was invented. And then because we were so used to American media coming over the air, our cable companies brought it in over the cable. Therefore, my opinions are just as much American media-based as they are Canadian media-based. Of course, I always prefer a little Canadian angle because that's closer to home, but I am fully aware and fully indoctrinated by American media. As a matter of fact, many Canadians eschew Canadian media for American media because they find it more glitzy, more higher production value, but
essentially
our media...
What does that mean?
I wanted to use that word eschew because you can't use it enough in... No, basically it means that we forsake or we give up our own media for the American media. We put it aside for American media for the high production value. So that's something that differentiates Canadians from Americans. We get all the American media plus our own stuff, whereas Americans only get their media and nobody else's unless they really seek it out, and it's usually hidden in the upper stratosphere of their in unlimited cable box channels, that kind of thing. So we're very aware, very Americanized here, probably more so than any other country, I would say. Therefore, my opinion is based on American media more than Canadian media. But
you also have a really interesting district, right, with lots of different eateries and places to explore. So that sets Canada a little bit apart, or actually maybe of an anomaly in Canada, right? Or are there other places like that have lots of diversity?
Well, yeah. I believe Toronto is the fourth biggest city in North America after New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. So this is a mega city in the UN definition of the term, and the population of the province, which is like a state that I live in, is about 11 million. So that would probably put us in the top 10 states if we were a state. So, yeah, this is a super big area. And Canada is a huge country, and it's as different from one coast to the other as the United States is. So when I speak about Canada, I would only speak of it from a Toronto point of view, not from, say, the West Coast or the East Coast, or even the French part of Canada, which I have absolutely no connection to whatsoever. But I'm aware of it. So
Sounds like there's some American, some other American fakeologists. Last night's broadcast, or 2 days ago, there was a sharp character that this speaks like normal English like me. It was making some points about, like normal people. It's amazing that like there's so much variety in the way we inflect and use phonics, of course. So we just have like a run-of-the-mill type of communication here in America. Laura has a little bit of that too, you know. But so that maybe it helps people to understand us more. Do you think that's possible? Because it's a little difficult for me to pick up on what Gaia, is it Gaia or Gaia, by the way?
Hello, what?
Oh, there he is.
Look at that, you just call his name and he's there. That's amazing.
It's magic, right?
You call Gaia? His name and he's there. Yeah, Gaia. Hey. I believe Gaia.
Gaia, okay. That's, all right, you write that down, Gaia.
That's his handle, and your handle is the Phoenician. And do you prefer to be called by your handle, or do you have a first name you want to share?
Yeah, you can call me Phoenician. I like the Phoenician. It's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Where does it come from? Where did you get it from?
It's probably about just sailing the seas. Yeah, you know, I'd like to get out on the ocean someday, so I'm dreaming of being a sailor and taking to the seas and maybe go here, then go there, take this over here. You know,
as far as I know, Kentucky is exactly landlocked in the middle of the mid.
Kentucky, I mean, you're a fried chicken inside the U.S.
Do you have fried chicken in Colombia?
I'm landlocked too. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
You have real chickens. You could just go kill a real chicken and fry it. So we have to kill fake chickens and then sell them to the world. We sell Kentucky Fried Chicken to Germans, to David Austin, whatever his name is. Oh boy.
Yeah. Because I'm sure Gaia will take over because I'll be off the air in about 10 minutes. But could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your age range, and if you're what you think of 9/11, which is sort of the introductory paragraph when you come onto the Fakeologist site? Could you just maybe give us a bit of that?
Yeah, I can best I can. Yeah, I'm low 30s. I don't want to get too specific. You know, I'm just a regular guy from Kentucky. No. And I do have a strong brainwashing in geopsyops through a local state university. I won't name that university, but yeah, it's my education is incomplete. I've got about 3.8 GPA. You know, decently learned in geosciences, but it seems more I've looked into it. There's a lot of it's just can we curse on here?
Of course.
I mean, a lot of it's bull crap, and so I've had to, you know,
read the worst you can say.
I was going to say,
Okay, this is Dave J from California. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So, I mean, that was the only sentence Dave J could speak without cursing.
Yeah, you were interrupted by Dave J. Dave J is not actually here. So don't be offended by Dave J, but we have little interruptions every 20 minutes on this channel. A, to remind you you're on this channel, and B, to tell the good listenership where they are if they do pick this audio up, wherever they are in the world. And you are live around the world, around the plane, or around whatever shape you want it to be. So
damn.
Anyone in the world can tune into this broadcast right now. So this is the only Fakeology-related live stream in the whole world and probably in the history of the world. So you're making history by speaking from Kentucky.
The Kentucky Phoenician on Fakeologist Radio. Speaking
of guys. It's a bumper.
Actually, would you make a proper bumper since you're not in the mood? That would be fantastic.
No, just cut this out. It's the first try. That's best, right?
It was natural. It was organic.
Yeah, exactly. It's organic. No rehearsals. Yeah.
Real organic, not that fake shit you buy in the store.
I mean, aren't we analyzing all this rehearsed fake bullshit? So, first thing that comes to mind is great, right?
Right.
Well, all right. We do have a script that we like to skip.
fuck the script. I mean, there's... come on, man.
All right. I'm going to take that... Guy, I'm going to take all kinds of your sound bites and put them in our sound bite machine. I'm going to take that one out. We got to take a timestamp. Gaia, did you see all the latest, the tryptamine?
I just came home from the football, man. I mean, literally, I mean, we won 1-0, and it was, I'm happy, but still unsatisfied, so.
I don't know what you're saying, but did you realize that John Law is also in the chat, John?
Fakeologist.com.
Yeah. I tested the ones. Yeah, I selected my favorite ones. So yeah.
All right. Okay. Fantastic. And
I have it on my computer as fake bot sample list.
Okay. Perfect. Do you know who this guy is, Phoenician? Oh, didn't work. Maybe I got the wrong three letter code. Oh, never mind.
I'll try it again.
I think the fake bot has left the building.
Right. What's a bot? Like, what the hell's a bot?
A bot is a computer. The bot is short for robot. It's just an automated script that performs actions.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a Chinese, but then without the eyes.
Well, who invented this Discord thing? This must be a big fucking deal. Like, can we trust them? You know what I mean? Like, is that like a...
Probably not. I don't know. We don't know the man behind the screen.
Oh, okay.
It was developed because of gaming. Gaming. It's a gaming app, actually.
Yeah. Video gaming is driving... Yeah, video games are driving the internet right now. They take a lot of money. And when people play video games online now, they like to talk to each other. Now, the games themselves don't necessarily have any way to talk. So this is an overlay. It's a game. It's a program that runs beside the game so people can talk while they're maybe shooting each other in these video games, for instance. I don't know. I'm not a gamer, but that is the genesis of these games, of these programs like Discord. There's many of them, but this is one of the better ones. Mm. But this is by no means the only one out there. There's so many. But this is the one that's caught on the most. And I just adapted it to be more of a chat, audio chat, and use it for my own purposes.
Nice.
But,
that's the first time I ever used it. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, fantastic. So can you give us your 9/11 take before I pull into my driveway?
Yeah, real
you're old
quick,
enough to have
yeah.
some opinion on it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I was pretty young when that happened, but I kind of disclosed the other night in the chat. I'll go ahead and air it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on mushrooms the night before. Ab Gaia. Who is it? Yeah,
good.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever done drugs in my life, and my buddy tricked me into taking them. And that's I'm just saying that disclaimer right there, and we had a pretty good trip or whatever we call it, and it was pretty deep. And then I fell asleep on the couch, and I guess I was kind of in and out. But anyway, at some point I'm laying on the couch and I look up. Here I'm kind of get myself back in that frame of mind. It was kind of wild. Okay, so I was laying on the couch. I remember something was happening on the TV, so I woke up a few times. I didn't realize what was going on, so I look up, and sure enough, I thought that a bomb dropped out of the sky on top of a building, and the building was
Was it the mushroom cloud?
No. I'm talking about like the way it looked to me was like the TV was wrong side up, and so I was like, "What the hell is going on here?" You know, and I think I just nodded out and probably went back to sleep. And then again later, you know, I guess. Something around
well, that was
me,
a school day, wasn't it?
I missed school, Tim. Is it Tim or you? On you want to be called Ab? Ab guess doesn't matter.
Call me Tim or Ab.
School again. I don't.
Psychologist.
Okay, fake autism. Then. But anyway, yeah, I wasn't at school. Yeah, we weren't at school. You know, there was a group of us. And,
you're playing hooky.
Yeah, you know, the girl was on the other chair. Yeah, we made out the night before. Good grief. Anyway, so then the next plane, as I learned later, yeah, and that, at that point I just stood up. I was like, what the fuck? You know, what the hell is going on here? And and I realized
nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
And oh, finally, John Lyle came back.
I realized, and then the sample came in. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. No, keep going. Keep going. Sorry.
So I stood up straight, and I'm like, what the hell? What the hell is this bullshit? Is basically what I said. So I guess it was just where, you know, I was still kind of tripping, but it was like a hypnagogic hallucination. If you're familiar with that, you know, like where it's like a dream state where you're kind of in and out, but sometimes it triggers these visions or whatever, or at least, so it was kind of building off what happened the night before with all the psychedelics, but I think it was more or less the in and out of these sleep states, that triggered it. So I look up, are you okay? You need to pull over or?
No, that's me. I'm sitting here on the balcony. I'm overlooking 10 lanes of traffic, man, in a 10 million people city, so, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, do the right thing, you know, pull over and be respectful.
Try and find one of those in Kentucky.
Right. Oh, anyway, so where were we? Oh, let's see. So, anyway, I stood up and I realized that it was just complete fuck, complete bullshit. And I said, my friends... they were still asleep, so I just left and went for a ride. I was like, this is a propaganda film. That's all I knew right away. Yeah. It was a propaganda film. I mean, immediately.
Mushrooms, you were aware of that. That's amazing.
No, I think that was because of the mushrooms, partly because of the hypnagogic hallucinations induced from these micro sleeps that I was having. I don't know. You know, that's one of the reasons I'm here. You know, just... can somebody help me with this shit? I need to understand this. And why does everybody else think that that was an actual event? And I never really realized that there were people out there who had already understood this or learned to understand it. So I don't know. I feel like I just really got fortunate.
Shut up! Shut down!
And to me, it looked like it was a Loch Ness monster going through the damn building. It looked like the Loch Ness monster. You understand what I'm saying? Like that nose out is, I could swear, I don't know if it's where my vision was just so acute, I could just see, but I don't know. I don't know. It looks like the Loch Ness monster's frickin' head popping out of the building. I've watched it afterwards, and it still seems like that to me. I don't know. So that was pretty much, you know, as far as my, you know, that was my experience with 9/11. I was like, this is crazy. And then I find out they all thought it was an actual terrorist attack. And so there you have it. I mean, later I've learned that there's a lot more to it. I'm sure it's just a big financial ruse.
Oh, yeah.
It was $2.3 trillion were stolen. And it somehow, you know, people forget about that.
Well, that's the story.
Oh, that's the story. True.
I'm gonna have to pass out here for a while. I'll let the great Gaia take over for now, or whoever else is around. And it was nice to meet you again.
Nice to meet you.
And we'll see you. One of the great things of the audio chat, people can just drop in and out without a schedule. It's nice and loose that way.
So, nice. Okay, I'll try to make more time for it.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. I don't know. Tryptamine is our tech, and he's working on the bot right now. It's sort of going in and out.
Psychologist.com.
Well, tell Laura. I said, hey, if you talk to her in chat or anything. So she's an awful sweet girl. Sure, sweet. You still there, guys?
Hi. You have a date, right?
Well, she stood me up, like I figured. Yeah, we're supposed to meet up on here. Then maybe go for
it's good we talk. I mean, you have a high intelligence, I can tell.
Nah, not too high. Fairly smart.
Humbleness is part of it, right?
Yeah, well, when you know you don't know anything, you're on your way to being intelligent. That's kind of my
idea. Yes, yeah. Great. Oh, man, can we get this sampled? Yeah, true. Yeah, very much. Great.
What'd you do today? Did you have a good day?
I had an awful day. I mean, it's still sunny. What? It's no, it's amazing. It's winter supposedly, but it's a nice day. Some football, some beer, some nice company, Colombian people, yeah. Flowers. So yeah, I'm happy.
Do you mind me asking what part of Colombia you live in?
No, I live in the capital, in Bogota.
Bogota. Oh, nice. Yeah. At one time I had every single capital of the world memorized.
You're a bit damp. Sorry. You're a bit damp. Can you maybe change the audio?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, it's better.
I'm going to bend my mic towards my mouth. Is that too loud? Too sensitive?
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, one time I had every capital memorized, maybe 15, 30 minutes. I don't know. But, yeah, so I remember Bogota, Colombia. And then there's Medellin, right, where all the new growth and development since the days of Pablo, right? So Pablo, good or bad, guy? Good or bad? Was he in or out? Was he a good guy posed as a bad guy, or was he a bad guy trying to be a false prophet?
Well, it's a bit black and white question, but what I think is that he started off rogue, as an uncontrolled person, like someone from the community, right?
Yeah.
But when he reached a certain level, and I think it happened mostly in 1983, 1984, more or less, and then he started to, he wanted to enter politics. And that is when the real mayhem started. Because, of course, the politicians wanted to control him, and he didn't want to be controlled, I think, because he was already too big, and his ego played a role as well. But in the beginning, I've been to the airport, the ex-airport where Pablo Escobar had his flights from, in Medellin. And if you talk to the people there, the poor people, they still regard him as a hero. Because he did good stuff for the poor people. I mean, he had a lot of money, and he invested it, or he gave it away to construct housing, and performing good deeds with the money you have. But then it changed because he became like a megalomaniac, wanting to enter politics and so, and that's where he encountered opposition, and that's when it started to go downhill.
Wow, so that was an interesting point that we focus on then, right? So the point where he entered politics, you're saying, is the most noticeable change in his actions, basically.
I read a book, and it's also made into a TV series. It's called La Parábola de Pablo. So the parable of Pablo. And there they make that point clear. And I think there's enough supporting evidence to say that, indeed. Because in the beginning he was kind of small. He started with weed. And then, actually, it's quite funny. And, it's actually the first time I mentioned this on Fakeologist. I mentioned it before on Hoaxbusters Call. But his empire got kick-started by who? The butcher of Lyon. An ex-Nazi, Klaus Barbie, who was a CIA, Mossad, and Nazi operative. And he was a spook, right? Klaus Barbie. Like the Barbie doll, Klaus Barbie.
Oh, I thought you said Lyon, France. Is that where he was from, or no?
No, he was assigned a job to look over Lyon, and he butchered people. And I think that is real because he admitted it later when he was already in Bolivia. He fled to Bolivia after the war, and he admitted to it to journalists and so. I think that is a real thing. I don't know how many people got hurt and how many people died exactly, you know. I mean, that's always debatable, but there was something happening. It's not like a complete CGI hoaxing stuff thing, right?
Well, do you think there were analog hoaxes? And has any of the fakeologists looked at the days of Pablo Escobar's death to see if that is indeed possible that his body was dragged out of the building onto the rooftop and so forth? I mean,
never to sound skeptical. I mean, that's a healthy attitude, of course, but it has similarities with the Osama bin Laden operation, right? I mean, rooftop house, CIA coming in and shooting and so.
Okay, let me get a pen and paper. Write this down. Rooftop.
Yeah. In this case, I mean, what is suspicious, it is one day after his birthday, his 47th birthday as well, right? I mean, sorry, I'm wrong. It's 46, but okay.
46, okay, never mind.
It was 1993, yeah, it could be. I mean, everything could be staged and faked and so. But on the other hand, I think there was a real change after it. So it set in motion something completely different. And if he would really be still alive and in charge, I mean, his children fled to Argentina and his buddy went to jail, and he is like the main guy that's actually keeping the thing alive. It's called Popeye, which means Popeye, you know, the Popeye cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Spinach.
Well, I got big forearms. I have big forearms. They used to call me Popeye when I was a kid. Well, I don't anymore, but when I was a kid, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't eat spinach.
I naturally
had big forearms.
Now he is the guy who appears on TV, like having interviews with the media and so from his cell, and the cells these big narco guys got are completely luxurious with internet and whatever, right? I mean it's like a hotel, something like that, right? Are they in those cells? I don't know, right? I mean, I cannot prove. It could be a Charles Manson hoax thing. I don't know.
Yes, no.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
But I talked about this thing because, of course, that's of interest. Was already before, like waking up and before coming here. Not so much, mostly after coming here 7 years ago. I talked to people. I want to know how that time was on the ground here. And I talked to the family of my wife, and there was a bombing in the center of Bogota. And my wife told me that her family, they had a business there in the center, and they had like smashed and blown out windows and stuff happening. It was not like a completely staged event. I mean, the deaths may be fake, but there was at least some explosion going on because there was damage to unrelated people, you know?
Yeah, there could be real. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was not a Boston smoke bomb. Sorry. Yeah.
Right, but even there may have been noise and so forth and some kind of show. I don't know, I wasn't there, but we could be looking at interactive, real-time events, and I don't know how to describe it, of course, just offhand, but yeah, if you go back to, when was this, and when was the attack on his little hotel or whatever there? When was he dragged from the building?
There's a good movie about it, actually. That is
Satanás.
Really? You watched it?
Yeah. I think I've watched probably a few of them. And if it's the more recent one, if it's on Roku and it's Roku is our cord cutting company that puts out this little device that you hook to your TV. Or it hooks to the Wi-Fi, and you just plug it in through your HDMI to your TV, and that way you can basically choose what program you want to watch through apps. But anyway, if it's on there, I've probably seen it because I watched something recently. It could have been an old one, but it could have been something new. But I just remembered it was actually pretty interesting. I actually feel for the people, you know, just that have had to experience the whole part, all of it, whether it's the those that actually feel like they are let down because of his death, or people who are stuck in this strange perception or paradigm where they kind of love him, but they're embarrassed to admit it. And it kind of sounds a little bit like North Korea, too, though, at the same time, Gaia. I mean, people there feel like they can't talk about their leader, who we probably all realize is, at least from what little bit of investigation I've done, especially since I found this site, it looks pretty hokey, these meetings and so forth. So I don't know to what extent you know, the Colombians have this fear that they can't admit that they dislike or like, especially even considering the guy is gone, whether he was an actor or not. You know, he's not in their public eye anymore. His little cohort, Popeye, still gets to make movies and films, and seems like he's turned his life around. I think I know what you're talking about. Is he kind of bald? He's the one that assassinated so many people and acts like a really nice person. So is he a reformed narcissist? Probably not, because you can't really recover from narcissism, as far as I can tell. So you never know. But then they may be acting too. This could be a really complex act. But there again, I don't want to be insensitive to you, because you've certainly been there with boots on the ground and you know what it's like to live there, and I certainly don't. So I don't want to be
the skepticism is good. I mean, of course, I mean, it's always good, but I try to get information from people, you know. I mean, I have my own views, and of course, if I would apply the extreme skepticism, insert John Laws, nobody died, nobody got hurt, you know, then you don't get far, right? You have to get the information from the people. And that's why I like to talk about this period, which is before my time, clearly, and try to get to know, okay, what happened and what didn't happen, what did you know from TV and what did you know from real life events. And well, this bombing, I don't know which bombing it was, right? I mean, I have to ask the details. It was somewhere in the 80s, but I don't know which kind of bombing it was. But the one that we just talked about, the movie Satanás, it's the only Colombian movie that made it, no, the first Colombian movie, there's a second one, but the first Colombian movie that made it to the foreign Oscar nomination. It didn't win, but it's still a good movie. It's called Satanás, and it is about a attack on a luxurious restaurant called Pozzetto, Italian Pozzetto name. In 1986. And it says that Campo Elias Delgado Morales, he was a Colombian self-described Vietnam War veteran who killed 29 people and wounded 12 more. So that's a strange ratio of
29, 12, let's see. Maybe 32, 42. Okay, I'll write that down.
I don't know if that event was real or not. I mean, they made a movie from it, so probably it was staged, and luxurious restaurant, you can stage things because it's not accessible for most of the public, and blah, blah, you know? But, the fact that they staged, I mean, it's the same thing in Syria or Iraq, right? I mean, there were American soldiers who went to Iraq or Afghanistan. No matter that they, at the same time, staged certain bombings and published them in the big time in the media, but still there was a war, so-called war, going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, with lots of different people, you know, playing different wartime roles too. So we often look at it like it's the U.S. is going to war. Well, there's probably 10 or 15 countries that went to war against Iraq.
Sorry, I will mute.
Are they driving those little vans down there with the sirens on them, the fuel-saving Is that what you're listening to?
No, ambulance.
Oh, ambulance, not a police. Oh, yeah. But it's the same thing, right? It's like basically the same thing, and then they...
Yeah, it's a small van.
Right. Fuel efficiency. But I think that's where we're headed in this country, just more of those. Do you think they'll have the high-speed chase cars and whatnot here in 20, 30 years, or are they going to go to the European little vans with the noisy sirens? I don't know. Something to look into. What was I going to say? Oh, about the war thing. Yeah, that's something that I have thought about because I heard some of the discussion, and maybe it was on a chat that was posted, and I never given it any thought. But if we were really actually going to go and kick somebody's ass really good, right, like with all the hand-to-hand, and why wouldn't you take the absolute best physical specimens? Like, why wouldn't LeBron James – And Mike Trout, the baseball player, like Roy Jones Jr. Why wouldn't you like Magic Johnson or Larry Bird?
Muhammad Ali.
Why wouldn't they just be indoctrinated into a class of citizen where if you're really going to get attacked and you're really having problems, you would send your fastest, toughest, most agile, athletic people. And you could say the same too for weaponry. Like, there's plenty of these country shooter guys that go out to these musket ranges. I've seen them all over Kentucky. I'm sure they can outshoot these guys. I mean, is there anything really happening? And I don't think it's ridiculous to assume that there might be a possibility that there's something up there. Like, there may be something's going on. And that sounds...
Yeah, but it's different roles. I mean, look at a big company or a bank or something, right? I mean, they hire certain people who are smart and can make money for the company. I used to be one of them, so, right? I mean... but if they want, like, stupid robot people, I mean, you don't put the smartest guy behind the counter in a bank because he will see through the scam and start stealing stuff, let's say, to really simplify it, right? And so you need both, I think. And then, I mean, of course, it's not that everyone in the military, I don't like the military at all, but I don't think that everybody there is some kind of stupid robot, just can write his name from high school hired lowlife, right? I mean, there are smart people there too, but they are assigned certain roles. And I mean, in a company sense, if you have a company, your own company, and not a big corporation, but your own company, you want to hire these people you named, the baseball players, the Muhammad Ali's. I mean, the people you can rely on. But if you are in a big, huge corporation, I mean, you want cannon fodder as well, right?
I see. It's like straw dogs.
Hmm.
Throw away after the magic right. I mean, that's a kind of a harsh way to put it. Yeah, that's something that I think, who's brought that up? Was that, because I've only heard like a few of these, this JLB guy, I've heard him talk about this, the possibility that war is not what we're told, so I need to go back and really start.
Well, the thing is, I mean, John is pretty provocative in his way of speaking, and he just proclaims war is a hoax, period. And that is something different than saying war is not what has been presented to us, because clearly it's not, right? I mean,
I might have problems with this guy. So that's something to look into. You know, what degree is war what we are told, and how do we reverse engineer it back to the most ridiculous proposition maybe that I have made. Like, you know, I do that kind of for fun, but maybe I'm not outlandish there. Maybe there is something to that. If it's not what we are told, like, why is it the least athletic, probably the least disciplined people just have some uncle or a cousin or somebody that was a Marine or an Army this or that, and they've known the whole time they've been in school that they're going to go into the military? Well, I mean, if they can break them down and train them, that's one thing, but at the same time, we're not really getting the wartime individual, the tough, mean, fast, smart people at that point. I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. Like I said, if the training provided is enough to keep up with the wars that are going on, whatever they are,
then maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that corporate role, so to speak, gets naturally filled, like you were saying, with the necessary components, one way or another.
Yeah. It's a pity he left. He joined and he left again. Garris, he's from Switzerland, and he has been in the army just 6 months, but his experiences, what he told, I mean, we just talked this morning offline, not recorded, but he has got great experiences to share, and only for 6 months, right? I mean, he's not like an expert or so, but he is an expert at the same time, because he knows more than I do. I mean, I've never been in the military. One of my friends, he's a geologist too, and he went to Afghanistan for the Dutch military. He was a professional, but as a geologist. So he was working in humanitarian stuff and selecting areas to dig for water wells and stuff like that. I mean, like reconnaissance stuff and stuff like that, right? And not killing people like that, right? But he told me that he knew Canadians and Americans that got killed in the war. So I don't know how it happened. I'm not saying he's a liar or he's speaking the truth. He told me that. I mean, I cannot check that, right? You know.
Well, sometimes you can just tell by the way someone speaks. You know, and he sounds like, I have listened to episodes with Jairus or Garris.
Yeah. Jerry in French, Swiss language, I would say, but he's fine. He's a relaxed guy, so he's fine with any pronunciation. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I just want to make sure I get the phonetics right, Gaia.
Mm-hmm. I understand. No, it's cool.
Being a Phoenician and all. So,
I got the fun, man.
Good. I had to come back with the one little make sure you had it. I just want to make sure you had that fun. Well, you are a very intelligent guy. You could probably teach me a whole lot. So, yeah.
No. I think we can teach each other enough. Really.
Yeah. It's
great to join, man. Your joking comments—they're really sharp. Really, wow. It's nice.
Well, we have to keep it light because the world is getting faker and faker and faker. That's all I know. Everywhere I go, people are doing something.
Yeah.
Do you get that one too?
But everywhere you go, I mean, you're in Kentucky, which to my limited understanding is quite isolated. So you have been around quite a bit, then.
I haven't been very far. I mean, I've been as far as Colorado and West Virginia. I've been to Niagara Falls.
You have never left the U.S.?
No, hell no. I went to Niagara Falls, and I got to see Canada from where I was, but it looked pretty nice. I'll probably never make it out of the United States. I don't know. We'll see. It's probably a lot of beautiful places. I don't know. I just have a feeling, you know. It's just like I'm destined just to live right here and have a great life.
For about $300, you can book a flight to Cancun and start backpacking in Mexico if you want.
I don't want to get killed or hijacked or something. I mean, Cancun.
Man, I've been to Mexico so many times. And don't go to the north, I would say. I mean, that is pretty tricky, but Yucatan is completely safe, man. Oh, really? There's nothing going on there.
I like older women, so I probably wouldn't like Cancun too much.
You are mid-30s, you said? So,
low 30s.
Well, I know at least two older Latinas who have been to Cancun, so...
Nice. So I have a chance, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You think I've got a chance?
No, actually, I was saying that is not an argument, but yeah.
Right. Well, hey, I've got to do the dishes and put some laundry up and get my night going. So
okay,
I had a hard workout.
I will let you go under the promise that you will keep joining in.
Absolutely. I sure will.
Cool, man. Cool. Nice.
Okay, man.
Okay, man. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks. We'll see you.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers.
Gotta eat some dinner. Again.
Oh, God.
They're about to kill me at the CrossFit. What you been doing, baby?
Huh? Hungry?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Boney M. Actually, I thought they were German, but they're actually Dutch. They had a German producer, but they were the singer and the act was Dutch. So, let me play another one. Of course, a well-known one. Let's go.
This is the Gulo. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That's all, folks.